This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
We will decide on the future of the L around fake Boomer Esiason coming up at 4 o'clock. Bantiki at 4:30. We'll have a very special Pete Alonso hair follicle beard flush ceremony coming up in the 5 o'clock hour as well. Plus, we'll play a new game called Did He Pull a Dick Cheney or Not? It's a brand new game. We'll do that in about 20 minutes or so. Did He Pull a Dick Cheney? That's coming up. Real quick, I have been itching. For months since they signed Juan Soto to proclaim that I want Pete Alonso to bat second, okay? And I'll explain it, but I'll tell you why I've been itching. Not that I believe in jinxes, but I didn't want to have this discussion or argument or give you my reasons until Pete Alonso was a Met. Like, talking about a guy in a lineup before he's on your team, it's like the ultimate, you know, touching the money,
right?
To quote the great Boomer Esiason, who apparently wants to take a giant number two on my desk. We have that audio. We can prove that that's really the case a little bit later on. So now that Pete has signed, very promptly, I will explain, and you can tell me if I'm crazy or not, on why I want Pete Alonso to bat second. Throughout his Met career, Pete Alonso has gotten no protection. Zero, zilch, nada. And to me, while a lot's changed in baseball, one thing that is not, even if you don't have a stat to prove it, is that having a hitter behind you who's really good helps you get more fastballs, helps you get more pitches to hit. It helps you. Juan Soto, I'll admit this, was helped by the fact that Aaron Judge was hitting behind him.
That's why he won the MVP, Aaron Judge, because he helped Juan Soto have a great year.
I think that, you know what? Contribute it, sure.
I mean, he had a record number of home runs for himself.
Absolutely. And you don't think Juan Soto was getting more pitches to hit because Aaron Judge hit behind them?
Definitely.
So I compiled a list, because I never sleep, of how many different people have batted behind Pete Alonso in his Met career. I swear to God, I made the list. I'm holding it right now up for Tiki to look at. See that list? Look at that list.
That is a lot of people.
You see that?
All those names.
All those names.
Wow.
In 2019, 8 different guys. In 2020, 12 different guys. In 2021, 13 different guys. In 2022, 11 different guys. In 2023, 12 different guys. Last year, 11 different guys. Last year, Jose Iglesias, Jesse Winker, Mark Vientos, Starling Marte, Brandon Immo, J.D. Martinez, D.J. Stewart, Brett Beatty, Francisco Alvarez, Tyrone Taylor, Jeff McNeil, all batted behind Pete Alonso. I believe that Pete Alonso would greatly benefit from one of the great hitters in this sport batting behind him. Now, I'm also willing, as Carlos Mendoza is, to see. It may not work. It's the beauty of lineups. You can change it.
Right.
He did that last year when he moved Lindor to the leadoff spot. I think Pete Alonso batting number two with Soto right behind him would be this perfect opportunity to see Pete get fastballs for two reasons why he's going to get fastballs. Number one, when Lindor's on base and he's a threat to steal, batter at the plate's going to get more fastballs, number one. Number two, you got Juan Soto.
Yeah.
So I want to see it. I want to see Pete with protection, Teak.
Right, but don't you – who's the better hitter out of Soto and Alonso?
Come on.
Exactly.
Wait, you trying to make me fight with Met fans again?
No, I'm not.
Obviously Juan Soto.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So wouldn't you want Pete Alonso protecting him?
I mean, I'm not against it, but guess who's protecting Juan Soto in my lineup? Mark Vientos. Not bad. Not too shabby.
Yeah, but
so Juan's still going to get protection. In fact, based on last year, he's going to get better protection. So what's the negative to using Soto to protect Pete Alonso? Why? What's wrong with that?
Because you have Mark Vientos if you want to protect Pete Alonso?
What does that mean?
Can't you just put Mark Vientos behind?
You could. Alonso? You absolutely
so what's
could.
The difference?
Because I like the idea of the better hitter, the bigger threat, the left-hand hitter protecting Pete Alonso. I just think it's even better. Like, look, the beautiful thing about this Met lineup, this is what's so exciting, is you got five guys and you could like draw them up a million different ways. I saw BT draw up a lineup. I didn't have a problem with this lineup. I thought it was cool. I think he went Vientos 2. Basically, we had the same lineup, except he had Vientos 2, Alonso 3. I'm cool with that. The only one that had a terrible lineup was Sal. I don't know what the hell's wrong with him. He had, like, Alonso batting fifth or something. That one was dumb. But there's a lot of ways you can line this up, and I think it's cool. Like, I'm not saying it's the worst thing in the world. I think sometimes lineups can be overrated. Just go out and hit.
Right.
But I would love to see a guy who's had 38 different players hit behind him in his Met career. Guys like J.D. Davis. Guys like Wilson Ramos. Guys like Jake Marisnik. I'm not making this up. These guys hit behind Pete Alonso. They were the ones offering protection. You may as well not wear anything. I'm sorry, I'm thinking of something else. Can't imagine what I'm thinking of. But like, you may as well not have any protection.
No, you're right.
You may as well go, you know. I don't know if I could say that on the air, but whatever.
Yeah, you probably should.
I'm not saying anything.
Look, but I don't know if it matters, though. Because Pete Alonso's going, the way that, if Mark Vientos is the player that he was for a lot of the second half of last season, where he was a threat to hit a home run or get a huge hit
right.
in clutch situations, he is just fine behind Pete Alonso.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now he's got to earn his reputation a little bit more, Mark Vientos. He's not just going to get it. You know, like Pete Alonso does or Juan Soto or any of these other really good hitters. But Mark Vientos probably is already protecting Pete Alonso.
I understand that. But
I think you're overthinking it.
I'm not. Well, maybe a little bit. Maybe I'm too excited.
Right. But you're getting ahead of yourself.
All I know is I sat here for years and I watched Kevin Pillar try to protect him. I watched Brandon Drury try to protect him. I watched Tommy Pham try to protect him. Pete Alonso deserves the proper protection.
Condoms.
He does. He needs it. And I think Juan Soto's the perfect guy. What the hell was that? Let's get to your calls. 888-808-1019. Paul is in Newark, New Jersey. What's up, Paul?
How you guys doing today?
Good.
I want to comment about Pete and talk about the lineup. You know, I've been pushing for Pete to get signed. I'm happy as can be. I thought it would take Steve to intervene. And I'm glad they went. And I think that's why Pete, I think he feels respected now. I think he was disrespected getting offered $22, $23 million a year. They go down to visit him. They meet with him. He gets the $30 million this year. And he's going to prove he's worth it. And then we'll see what happens after that. So I'm glad that everything, I think Pete feels more respected now. That's one thing. The lineup,
yep.
I think you need two guys in front of Soto because the bottom of the Mets lineup isn't very strong. You want men on base. So I would put Lindor, Vientos, Soto, Pete, maybe Nimmo after that. I would like Nimmo number two.
Yeah.
Because he gets on base a lot. He walks a lot. But I think that top five is great. Then you got Alvarez. And it's going to change through the years. Alvarez is doing good.
Oh,
he's
going to
move up.
No, that's the key here, Paul. Like, Mendy showed this last year. He changed the lineup big time when Lindor moved to the leadoff spot.
Yeah.
So I admit, like, we have fun talking about it. It's kind of a geeky fun, like, well, let's line up the guy this way. By April 5th, it could change. Guys hitting, guys not hitting. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it changes real quick. I have two rules about the lineup. And if you disagree with it, you're nuts. Okay, two simple rules. One, Soto and Francisco Lindor need to bat in the first inning. That's it. They are batting one, two, or three. That's it. You want to argue about where you line them up? That's fair game. I don't think there's a wrong answer. I just like the idea at the beginning. Just at the beginning. I want to see Pete Alonso with protection. I want to see what happens. I want to see it.
Right. I want to see Pete Alonso with a 250-plus batting average.
Is that what you're throwing shade at him right now?
800 OPS. Yes. Why are we talking about his lineup?
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
February, the Super Bowl hasn't happened yet.
I know. It's just because they just signed him. It's not like we're going to do it next week. This fantasy about lineups, it lasts one day. I promise I will not bring it up again.
Well, also, newsflash, Pete Alonso is going to hit three different places this year in the York.
No, I know. I admit that. It changes all the time. Like, who would have thought last year at this time Lindor was going to end up as the leadoff hitter? And he actually did.
All right.
Josh is in Smithtown. What's up, Josh?
Hey, just one comment and then one question for you guys. My comment is about this disgusting beard thing that you guys did. He's a pretty connected guy. I mean, he knows who you are. I know you know that he knows who you are.
He commented on the beard.
Right, as I'm saying, yeah. So, I mean, you think that doesn't impact his decision-making a little bit? I think, you know...
What do you mean? What do you mean? I want you to clarify. What are you saying? Are you saying Pete stayed because of my beard or was going to leave because of my beard? What are you saying?
I think if someone said, hey, you want to come here for $1 million or get away from the guy who's saving his beard hair that he grew for you, I might have a tough decision to make.
Here's the thing, Josh. Ladies and gentlemen, when I wanted to cut my beard a year ago, it was right around this time. It started to grow. I was doing it for Pete. What did I do? You guys remember what I did?
Mm-hmm.
I went right up to Pete Alonso and I said, Pete, I want to cut my beard. I'm sick of it. My wife is sick of it. I got to get rid of it. And this is what he said.
It's garbage that you're even considering cutting your beard.
Yes, and then he went and cut his.
Well, things changed. Things changed. But the point is, does that sound like a guy that was running away from me and my beard? Sounds like a guy who was insisting I keep my beard.
Yeah.
Sounds like.
It did. Because he wanted to. At that point, he had his beard.
That's right.
I wonder what made him cut his beard.
He was slumping. That's what happened. I'll walk anyone through it who missed it. So the Mets obviously had a terrible start to the year. And so Pete was also really struggling, and one day, this was a little bit before Memorial Day, he went clean-shaven. And I came on the air and said, guys, I got to tell you, man, he's giving me a sign that he wants me to cut the beard, too, to try to turn the season around, not just for Pete, but for the Mets. And that's when I did it. And if we're being fair about time, when I cut my beard on Memorial Day, the Mets turned their season around a week later. Wasn't a day later, I admit that. It was a week later. So I'm not presumptuous enough to claim that cutting my beard turned the Mets season around. It may have been positive Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
It may have just been OMG. It may have been Grimace, whatever you want to come up with. All I know is I was trying to spark the New York Mets because Pete sent me a signal by shaving himself.
Right. And it worked.
It all worked.
It worked.
And Pete's back, so it really worked.
Your brother?
No, it didn't.
It was a long time ago.
Dude, that's like Boomer still taking a victory. Right.
Like Boomer taking a victory. We'll decide that coming up because Boomer's still trying to take a victory. Anthony's in West Haven. What's up, Anthony?
Oh, speaking of Boomer, he threw some shots across the bow today. Our friend Evan today.
I know.
Evan, how are you going to respond to it now? You got to respond to it. No, you can't let Boomer get away with it.
Well, the biggest thing he did is he threatened to drop a deuce on my desk.
Boomer Esiason!
See that? I can't believe it.
Well, in fact, we have the audio of it. So, ladies and gentlemen, this was from the morning show. Jerry did a very good job tattling on us, saying, oh, they're making fun of you, Boomer. And we were making fun of Boomer. I don't think it was actually related to the L and Pete Alonso. Jerry got that wrong. That's okay. I think it was more related to the fact that I wasn't sure if Boomer had my phone number,
which
he did confirm this morning he does not have. And what made it funnier to me, and I don't know if anyone, I think G recognized that this was funny. Boomer has the cell phone number in his phone saved for Tiki Barber, Sean Morash, Tommy Lou Gower.
And not you.
And not me. And I've worked with him
much longer than all of us.
And I, by the way,
he probably had my number from doing his show before he was doing this show.
Oh, yeah, probably.
What was that called? It was on MSG. I can't remember now.
Game Time?
Something like that.
Yeah, I think that was his show. So Boomer did confirm he did not have my number, which is fine. I didn't have his number. But here's where he threatened. Listen to this. I don't want Boomer to get in trouble from HR, by the way. I do not take this as a threat at all. If he does decide to do this on my desk, I have no problem with it. I'll promptly clean it up.
As long as you're not here, it's all good.
That's right. And there have been worse things in my office, as Loogie can attest to. Didn't I once leave clothes that were filled with milk in my office?
When you did the milk bath to help the Islanders, you left your dirty clothes in there for like months.
So you could argue that's more disgusting than this threat.
Dude, you spent an hour and a half saying you're going to flush big hair down a drain here. I think you guys are having an HR off. You're good.
That's a good point. But here's what Boomer said.
I'm just going to go in there and take a dump on his desk.
Who thinks of that?
That would be something, man.
Jerry's laugh is my favorite part.
I know.
He thinks it's the funniest thing you've ever heard.
Right, because he's genuinely laughing.
So I heard this, and when I got to work, I was curious. I was like, do you think he left a dump on the desk? I wasn't sure. And I admit, my office is so dirty at times and smells that I may not have been able to tell right away.
London.
Oh, God.
But I do want to clarify, Boomer did not drop a deuce on my desk.
But he is still wearing the L.
But we put the L back on. Now, a little bit later on, coming up around 4 o'clock, we will determine in a fair, balanced way if his prediction that he made last week that Pete Alonso would sign with the Mets on Friday, if because he signed with the Mets, we should take the L off, or does the L remain? So we'll make that decision a little bit later on. Let's go to John in Staten Island. Hey, John.
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? How are you?
What's up, man?
What's up?
Here's my opinion. I think Pete Alonso is going to have a monster year for one reason and one reason only.
Go.
The soothsayer Sal Licata is always wrong about every single Met take for the last 3 years.
So you're saying Sal is going to get Pete to have a big year? Is that what's happening?
Hear me out. I'm going to give evidence.
All right, go ahead.
Here's the evidence.
Yes.
The Elise is over. Wah, wah, wah.
Okay.
Oh, Marcy, I've been watching baseball my whole life. Mark Vientos is never going to be a Major League Baseball player. They should trade him for a bag of balls. Wah, wah, wah. Then last year, I think Pete Alonso is going to have a bounce back year. Wah, wah. Now he's complaining about it. And now it's like, well, I feel like his feelings are hurt, and I don't know if they should be together. And, you know, I really would like to, like, put Alonso seventh in the batting order.
All right. Can I defend my guy, Sal Licata?
He didn't say seventh, did he?
I don't think he said seven. Right. No. Now, all of those things that our last caller laid out, yeah, he probably got them wrong. I can't confirm. I don't listen to every second of their program. I do listen a lot. I enjoy them. But I can't confirm everything. Obviously, NL East is over. Yes, Sal got it wrong. I think he did say Mark Vientos is not a baseball player, yeah. But in his defense, a lot of people said that.
But he also said the NL wild card race is over, which actually takes away
Tommy,
the NL East is over.
Thank you. This is what I was about to get to. You jumped the gun just slightly.
Sorry,
and that's
that.
Okay.
I didn't know if you knew that.
That's what I wanted to get to. He did say, and it was during the Kodai Senga game, because I was there with my kids, and he took a lot of backlash for this. Sal did tweet, I think tongue-in-cheek, but it doesn't matter.
Right.
The wild card is over. And he took a lot of crap for that. And I defended him that weekend, saying, come on, he was having fun. He said it with a smile. But at the end of the day, Sal was right. So I get it. He's made some wrong predictions. We all have. But I'm sorry. I'm not going to let you call up and defame him without me at least telling you he said the NL wild card was over. And even though it took some bumps up and down, he was ultimately right. With that said, I think Pete Alonso is going to have a good year. Like, I think that sometimes we're way too extreme, Teak, with he's going to have a monster year, he's going to have a crappy year.
You want to hit the edges, because the edges make it more profound and make it more headline-worthy, whatever headline you're looking to get to. But I think Pete's going to be exactly what he was last year.
See, I disagree with that.
You think it'll be better than he was last
year? I do. So Pete Alonso's declined over the last 3 years. Not necessarily with home runs, but I think OPS is a great indicator. 869 in 22, 821 in 23, to 788, the lowest of his career in 2024. Right. If I had to guess right now, I think his OPS will be higher than it was 2 years ago. It will be above 821.
Okay.
I also think home run-wise, he had 34 last year, 46 the year before. I think he's going to get to 40. Hmm. I think we're looking at the average I know people care about, it doesn't freaking matter. No. So, like, giving you the batting average is a waste of time.
Right.
I think he's going to drive in 100 runs, because I don't think I'm going to get what I want with him batting second. So there'll be a lot of guys on base. I think he'll have a better clutch season. I think he gets 40 home runs. I think he has an 830 OPS. It's not his best season. It's not a career season, but it will be better than it was last year. But it will not be the worst. It will not be the best, but it will be good, and it will be good enough.
I think the only reason batting average matters if it's sinking so low that it's troublesome. Like, if he's hitting 205, then you're worried about his batting average.
Okay, so let me counter that with this question to you. 2024, last year, we all watched it. 34 home runs, 88 RBIs. Right. His batting average was closer to his career average. It was 240 with a 788 OPS.
Right, which made sense.
The year before that's the year where he had the horrible batting average.
Right, 217.
217. But he had 46 home runs, drove 118 runs, and had a better OPS. Which season would you rather have? It's not close to me. So you can think about it. I respect it. But to me, it's 23 by a lot. He had more home runs. He had a better OPS. But, he had a better year. Yeah, who cares about the batting
how
average?
How many of those home runs were clutch home runs?
In 23?
Yeah.
So, but here's the difference.
That's what it comes down to. It's like, what was the meaning of those home
they
runs?
Had
I don't know off the top of my head.
Well, they had a bad year. So from July on, none of them were meaningful. So am I putting that on Pete? Like, he had clutch home runs, and he's had clutch home runs
in his
career.
So he hits 46 home runs in a season. It doesn't matter. It doesn't go anywhere. You don't make the postseason.
Come on. Like, that's not fair.
It's not fair, but I'm just
if
saying.
If I said that about your stats, your team stunk that year. You still had a good year, Teak.
I don't think I had.
I know. Damn it.
Years.
I know. You're killing me with this.
Whatever. It's different.
We'll have to look this up now.
It's different with baseball.
Right.
But, you know, I feel like, honestly, I know you're saying you'd rather have that 217, 46 home run year, but I'd rather have the year he had last year where he hit clutch home runs.
Well, no, last year
when it mattered.
Last year he only had clutch home runs for the most part in the postseason.
That's what I mean in the
and
postseason.
Look, the postseason's a different animal. Like, Aaron Judge had the greatest year ever last year, but he sucked in the playoffs.
Right. Same with 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Whenever he had his contract year.
I'm just saying the only point I was trying to make is that I think batting average can be very overrated. It really comes down to driving runs in, your OPS, home runs. Like, that's what matters. And look, some of us are just stuck in 1995 or 1988.
Right.
We got to get out of it. The batting average thing's overrated. If batting average mattered so much, why aren't you begging for Luis Arise right now, Sean? Why?
I agree, because I'm not pounding the drum for batting average.
Why is that? Because you know.
Well, I graduated from that. It matters.
You also don't want a guy who has zero ability to hit extra bases.
I get it.
Right? But that Luis Arise is going to hit 350 every year, 350 every year, but he's not going to hit 10 home runs.
So what would you rather have then? 217, 46 home runs, 118 RBIs, an 830 OPS, or 315 with a 790 OPS? Which one?
The obvious is the 46 home runs.
Okay, so then let's get off batting average. I think that helps prove it, does it not?
Yeah, I mean, you're also giving two extremes. Let's not pretend batting average doesn't matter.
What I was just talking about. You talk at the extremes. It makes it more interesting for the headline, right?
It's just, now you're accusing me of that? Damn it.
You're being very extreme.
I'm making a point that I think that when we view Pete's year next year, because, yes, it's fair to all of us say right now, is he going to have a good year? Is he going to have a bad year? What's it going to look like?
Right.
Especially after an opt-out. I'm merely saying, I think he's going to have a good year. I don't think it's going to be a career season. I don't think he can't handle the pressure.
Well, I
don't buy that.
And I think the pressure is different this year, right? The pressure last year, like you change your agent. Your agent's telling you, I'm going to get you $200 million. Just have a great season. Like that becomes pressure filled. Now it's, I know this team wants me. They proved that they want me because they signed me for this 2-year deal. I know that's an opt-out after one, but it feels less pressure if I'm Pete Alonso than it did a year ago when you're trying to get a $200 million contract.
No, I get you. A lot more of your phone calls, plus we play a brand new game. It's probably the only time we'll play this game. It's a new game called Did He Pull a Dick Cheney? We'll explain coming up. Met fans, we'll get back to your calls. A lot of Met fans pumped up about the return of Pete Alonso, already thinking about the future and 2025 with Pete back. But I want to explain something before we play the game, Did He Pull a Dick Cheney? Many years ago, Governor George W. Bush, he had just gotten the Republican nomination. He was running for president in 2000. Searched for a vice president.
Yes, he did.
And so he hired somebody who had worked for his father, George H.W. Bush, a congressman, former congressman by the name of Dick Cheney. And he said, Dick, can you help search to find me the right running mate? And Dick Cheney went on a search, and George Bush was like, why don't you just take the job, Dick? And Dick Cheney was like, I'm gonna keep looking. I'm going to find the right guy for you. I'll find a woman for you. I'm going to find someone for you. And then finally at the end, Dick Cheney's like, screw it. I'll do it. And Dick Cheney, of course, became one of the most powerful vice presidents in American history. So whenever there's a search committee that includes people that could also do the job they're searching for, one always wonders, is he going to pull a Dick?
Dick, that is indeed a badge of honor.
So Rick Spielman, who was a part of the 33rd team and a part of the search for a new general manager and new head coach, he was a part of the group, has just been announced as I guess he's joining the front office as a senior advisor.
Yes.
Okay, and it's already been confirmed. Rick Spielman, former general manager, a lot of experience. In fact, what he said today was Aaron Glenn and Daryl Mugey are the final decision makers. I'm just there to be a sounding board. So that's how he's defining it, but he was a part of the 33rd team, and now he's joining the organization that he helped lead the search for.
Yes.
Did he pull a Dick?
It's not Cheney. Exactly a Dick Cheney.
Okay.
But it is a quasi-Dick Cheney.
Quasi. Because it's not the real job.
It's not the job. He didn't say, we looked and we looked and we looked and we looked exhaustively, Woody. We just couldn't find.
What? What's so funny? You having fun over there?
We couldn't find a good GM for you. So, I'm sorry, Woody. I got to pull a Dick.
Hacking and whacking.
For you.
So, it's more of a micro Dick Cheney.
Yes,
there, yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, because he didn't take the lead job.
He didn't take the big job.
Right, like Dick Cheney's search was to find a vice president, and he said, I'll do it. In this case, Spielman was helping find a coach and GM, and Spielman is not the GM.
No.
He's an advisor.
Right.
So it's not a full Dick Cheney.
Yes, that's correct. Not a full.
Not a full one. Okay. Full. By the way, I like this because what I want as a Jet fan are people who are smart, people who have accomplished things, people who can be sounding boards, people with experience. And obviously, Daryl Mugey doesn't have that experience.
Aaron Glenn
doesn't have that experience.
Nope.
So bringing a guy like Rick Spielman in, who's done a lot of work in the NFL over the years, that is a good sounding board.
No, I think it's great for, it helps their personnel department. It helps, even if it's not just sounding board, just giving it advice on how this process necessarily has to work and what best practices you've learned over the years. And you got to believe that Rick, because of his work both with the 33rd team and his previous stints, that he has relationships that these two now young in their job, executive Mugey and Aaron Glenn, don't have.
Right.
So I think it's great.
Yeah.
Right? Even if we were making fun of it because it was a little Dick Cheney-ish.
ish. Yeah, it's like, it's not the, you're right. Like, he didn't do the full thing.
No. Hacking and whacking.
He didn't do the, I'm just going to take the job. And by the way, if he did take the job, I don't think I would have been upset. No. Like, I think I looked at it and said, all right, Aaron Glenn doesn't have experience. Cool, let's bring in a general manager that does have experience. So even when Mike Tannenbaum was mentioned, because Mike Tannenbaum was leading the group,
yep,
and we joked right off the top,
right,
will he pull a Dick Cheney?
Right, that's like, who I thought was going to pull the Dick,
right,
Cheney.
And remember, Mike Tannenbaum, of course, has experience in the general organization. He was, mm-hmm, the GM. He was actually the last general manager that had team success.
That's true.
So if he had pulled the Dick Cheney, I think most of us would have been like, all right, fine. But it's a decent hire, and the Jets are really changing their front office. That's one of the things that you're seeing here that, you know, and I find this interesting, that the Jets have had a lot of turnover, not recently in the last 3 or 4 years, but a lot of turnover at least in the last decade. And a lot of front office people have remained.
Yeah.
And this seems like we're really getting a cleanse. We're really getting a change in the Jets front office, and I can't complain about
it. No, that. You can't, because whatever they have been doing philosophically, it just hasn't been working. So.
Right.
You got to try something different. You got to think out, not even want to say outside the box, that's cliche, but you got to just think differently about how you're putting a team together and the decisions that are made to do things like bring in an Aaron Rodgers, right? Was that an emotional move, or was it a prudent move, right? And when you look at it in hindsight, we're probably going to evaluate it years down the line, say, yeah, it was just an emotional move, right? They thought emotionally that was going to make them really good. It was going to make them the talk of the town, first of all. And then Aaron Rodgers, somehow, some way, because we saw Tom Brady do it, Aaron Rodgers is going to fall right in his stead and be, I don't know, elite at 40-plus years old. It just doesn't happen. You know what I mean? So it was like an emotional decision that didn't pan out.
You know what, though? It didn't work out. I obviously take it out.
Right.
Now, maybe it can work out. I mean, if they bring him back and the Jets win 11 games and make the playoffs, there's still a chance it can work,
right,
out, even if it doesn't look that way.
There's a chance for it to resurrect itself.
But
it seems unlikely.
Seems unlikely, absolutely. I mean, he may not come back.
Right. He may retire.
But Aaron Rodgers and the decision to acquire him was a sound decision that I will defend. Because
it was. I'm not even saying that it wasn't. I'm just saying, in retrospect, was it the right decision? And the answer is no.
What was the right decision? Derek Carr? What was the right decision? Running it back with Zach Wilson? What was the right decision?
Definitely not running it back with Zach Wilson.
Okay, so it may not have been the right decision, but what else was out there that would have been better?
I mean, I don't want to say it because we already talked about it. It was Baker Mayfield.
That's true. That's the one. No, you're right. That is the one. Baker Mayfield is the one.
Right.
I don't know if it would have worked here, but that is the one.
If there was a quarter, Baker Mayfield could have handled New York.
Yeah.
I am positive about that.
I agree with that. 888-808-1019. Sonny's in Malvern. How are you, Sonny?
Hey, guys. How are you? Congratulations,
good.
Evan.
Oh, thank you very much. I worked hard.
Great day to be a Met fan. Anyway, I got a trivia question for the sports geek, and I mean that in a good way, Evan. But first off, my prediction I made over a month ago, guys, and you know this, about Barkley winning the Super Bowl MVP is getting closer and closer, only 3 days away.
Right.
So that prediction is pretty good right now.
Yeah,
right?
You got a real shot at it. I mean, if the Eagles win the Super Bowl, I say it's more likely than not that he is going to be the Super Bowl MVP.
Yep. Anyway, Evan, going to the trivia question, then a Met point, if I may. Do you know what inning most runs are scored in baseball?
Yeah, the inning where the most runs. I'm going to tell you the answer. My understanding is the answer is the first inning.
Yes, my man, Evan. So you were correct that Lindor and Soto have to bat in the first inning. I would go with Lindor, Soto, Alonso. Evan, I'm disappointing you, though. You said you want Alonso batting second.
Yes.
And listen, we all agree that, you know, Soto was the best hitter by far.
Yes.
Wouldn't you want your best hitter protected? Why would you reverse that?
Because my best hitter is still going to be protected. The Mets have a deep enough lineup where Juan Soto's protection, mm-hmm, is going to be Mark Vientos.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. And ask yourself, if Juan Soto is your best hitter, which he is, we agree on that, who is the best hitter most equipped to protect him? Is it Mark Vientos? Is it Pete Alonso? Now, if you base it off of last year, it would be Mark Vientos.
It would.
He had a better year.
He did, but he's got to follow it up.
Absolutely.
I think he surprised most of us, to be honest with you.
Of course.
And so now how does he respond to the pressure of being now closer to being the man?
Yes.
It's hard.
Absolutely.
But I don't know. It felt like watching him at the end of last year, he didn't feel the youth in him. It felt like he was ready for those moments.
Oh, yeah, no question. I mean, the one moment last year that doesn't get enough credit, that still gives me like the oh my God, I can't believe that happened, was him hitting a game-tying home run in Philly.
Right.
And I was there, so maybe there's some bias there. But it was the ninth inning, and they're up 1-0, so it's a little bit of, all right, we got our win in Philly. And when he hit that game-tying home run, I was, are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah.
So when you talk about being ready for the moment, Mark Vientos was. The only thing.
Still heartbeat. Calm heartbeat.
That's heartbeat. See, what Sonny hit on, and this is very, very true, and this is a part, I guess, of New Age thought, but I also think it's kind of basic when you think about it. The reason why the most runs score in the first inning is because your best hitters are guaranteed to hit. There's no other inning where your best hitters are guaranteed to hit. No other inning. Because you don't know who's batting in the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth. You have no idea.
Right.
But in the first inning, you have your one, two, and three hitters. I do believe that your best hitters need to bat in the first inning. There used to be, you put your big slugger cleanup. He's a cleanup hitter. That's 1985. I disagree with it.
Right.
I want my best hitters 1, 2, 3. I want a guy that gets on base a ton of times leading off, and if he could steal a base, that would be great. Having pop is nice. I want my best hitters at 2 and 3. Now, Pete's not the Mets' best hitter, but I want to see early how he fares for the first time in his career getting true amazing protection. And Juan Soto is the best protection one can have.
Right, but it also might be Mark Vientos.
It could be. Okay, I'm telling you what I would do.
Right, it's all good.
I'm making this prediction.
There's no wrong answer here.
Well, here's the funny part. By the end of the season, everyone's going to get what they want because the lineup is going to be 150 different ways.
That's a good point.
What do you want, positive Tommy?
I don't like your idea.
I didn't ask you that. I said, what do you want?
Can you wait?
You don't have to attack my idea. Just tell me what you want.
You're the worst. Evan, can you ask me that again? Can you ask me again?
What do you want?
I don't like your idea.
I
love your idea.
Oh, thank you.
I love putting Alonzo in the two hole because I do think that there is a little bit of pressure on him again because he's once again betting on himself. You put either Vientos or Soto behind him. I love Pete in the two hole, and I feel like he's had success in the two hole throughout his career. That's a pretty good spot for him.
Yeah, I was looking
We've seen Judge in the two hole. I like that spot, and I think it makes the lineup even better. I don't like Pete 4, where there's a little bit, no disrespect to anybody behind him, a little bit more of a drop off than there would be if he's hitting second.
If he's hitting cleanup, it's the same freaking story as the last 7 years.
Right.
Like, who's put that? Jeff McNeil? Francisco Alvarez, Starling Marte, Brandon Nimmo.
Second baseman, to be honest with you.
Now, also one last thing.
Who do you want?
I want Acuna to be the second baseman, not McNeil. McNeil could come off the bench.
He can get there at some point, and it could happen this season. Just have patience. Do you want to apologize to me?
No.
Okay. Because I want to read something. You tell me if he owes me an apology. It's an old tweet. Yes. I've been handed many old tweets by a fellow named Dan who listens to the show religiously, and he gives tweets for context.
So is this negative Dan that emails to Rico Bronya that you're referencing?
I mean, his name is Dan. Does he need a nickname? His name is just Dan.
There's negative Dan on the Rico. I thought it was the same guy.
This is a tweet from Tommy Lugauer. Pete Alonso gets hurt 5 days after Evan shaved his beard and cut his hair. Evan Roberts jinxed Pete Alonso.
Oh.
You want to apologize for that? Because clearly I didn't.
I mean, you did.
How'd the rest of the season go?
What, at the moment that I tweeted that?
At the moment.
Yeah,
how'd the rest
right.
of the season go?
The rest of the season, he was healthy.
Okay. Mm. Sean, do you think that tweet deserves like him saying, hey, Evan, I got that one wrong, I'm sorry?
Well, we're going to pretend Pete had some great season last year.
He hit the most important home run in the history of New York baseball this side of Bobby Thompson.
That he did.
Excuse me, Evan. Evan, leave the trolling stuff to me, pal.
I mean, it's up there.
You want to
tell me the great home runs in New York baseball history?
It's New York baseball.
I mean, you want to tell me he killed Bob Uecker? That's one thing. I mean, come on, Evan. Jeez.
I wouldn't say that. Okay, it's a top 10 home run in the history of New York baseball.
Okay, great. So what? So we're judging.
So how did I jinx him when he actually did that? I'm just saying, I deserve an apology?
So we claim things months later?
Well, but he said I jinxed him. What, the jinx lasts a day or something?
Okay, here's a perfect way of how you know you jinxed him, Evan.
Go ahead.
Pete Alonso, ahead of last year, did you think Pete Alonso probably deserved somewhere between a 5 to 7 year deal when he hit free agency?
Yes.
Okay, how many year deal did he get this year?
2 years with an opt-out.
Okay, so I think maybe his full year and not just that one home run had a lot to do with that.
You know what? Fair enough, Judge John. Judge Sean.
That was a sports answer.
I accept it. No apology needed, Tommy.
Well, you should apologize to me, but go ahead.
I'm not apologizing to you. We have to reverse apologies now?
Right. Because you demanded an apology?
No, I asked the question, and Judge Sean ruled, and I accept it. That's how you accept your fate, Sean.
See, now I don't like what you're doing. You set me up for something, and I know I have a big weekend ahead. I don't like where this is going.
Let's go to Rick in Queens. What's up, Rick?
What
Tiki, Evan, thank you so much for taking my call. I have a comment and a question, if you please let me.
Go ahead.
The comment is, Vientos needs to bat second. It's only his second year. You need to give him protection. If this was his third year or more, I would agree with your comment. He's got to bat two. Alonso needs to bat four.
Okay.
My question is, the Mets are looking to push and make Clay Holmes a starter when he came from the bullpen. Why are they not trying that with Jose Buto? Is he not reliable enough to be a starting pitcher?
I think
thank you for taking my call.
That's a great question. I think the reason right now is circumstance. The Mets have, at this moment, six guys, really seven guys, when you include Paul Blackburn and Griffin Canning, who they have ahead of Jose Buto. Jose Buto's got time. Like, he's under team control for the next 4 years. So I'll make you this prediction, Tiki. Jose Buto will be a starting pitcher at some point. It's just not happening now.
So because he have the value of time on your side, you don't have to rush into that.
Correct.
Whereas the Clay Holmes signing is, man, we need some starters.
Yeah.
And so we have to try and experiment with someone who we don't have long-term control over, like Clay Holmes. And so Clay, get it done. Now, whether or not that happens or not, it's really one of the more interesting, we haven't talked a lot about their pitching staff yet. I know we brought it up earlier, but it's one of the more interesting things about the Mets now that this Pete Alonso drama is over, is what's the starting rotation going to look like? And how good are they going to be?
Well, I think that of all the things before a baseball season that you try to predict, the biggest wild card, the biggest I have no freaking idea answer is to the question of what is Clay Holmes as a starting pitcher?
Because
I have no idea. You know, seeing the transition some other guys have made, would it surprise me if Clay Holmes was really good? No. Would it surprise me if we're screaming and yelling by May 1st he needs to go to the bullpen? No. I truly, truly have no idea. What I do know is that we will determine the L future of the great coworker of ours named Boomer Esiason, who now I'm in his phone. I don't know what he labeled me as, probably not something nice, guy I dumped on desk of, or something of that nature. But we will determine if Boomer deserves to have this L taken off of his neck. He did say Pete was going to stay, even if he was 5 days off. We'll determine that coming up.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.